Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
On this week's episode of Barbecue in Tech, the beef short rib experience, or experiment, depending on how you want to look at it. I'm your host, Rod Simmons, joined by my partner and crime co-host, Chris Ashley. What up, dog?
Hey, brother. Man. You know, there's no secret. I'm not a huge fan of Google by any sense of the imagination. But, YouTube is just one of the... It's just so important to my day to day. Just like I've literally stopped watching TV on a regular basis. And, you know, I still watch my shows and, you know, new shows. Justified is out and watch that while I'm cooking or, you know, making a cutting board or something like that. But, we watch a lot of woodworking videos so we can get better at our craft, especially these cutting boards and ashtrays and stuff we make for the store. If anybody wants one, by all means, head over to our store. There should be some new stuff listed in there. And also, before I forget, we are in the midst of generating a nice, really cool partnership with Mason Dixon Barbecue Services. And, they're going to make it a lot easier for us to be able to test new equipment, which will benefit everybody, especially the ones looking for new smokers, new types of smokers and, you know, new thermometers, all of that stuff. So if you get a chance and you're looking to buy a new seasoning or a rub, this is where we get all our stuff from, especially the things we're going to talk about on today's episode. Please head over to their website. The link will be in the show notes. And just leave a comment saying that we sent you, and that will suffice for now. So appreciate it. But anyway, you came across a video that, sometimes we come across stuff and we're like, oh, we should try this. And they're like, yeah, we'll get to it. But I don't know what it is about this one. We just kind of jumped all over it. So, you know, I don't know. It was pretty awesome, though.
Yeah. So I'm going to provide a link in the show notes. So if anybody wants to see it, it was I think I was scrolling, like you say, through YouTube, shorts, and I flipped it. I think it was like an advertisement from, Komodo Joe. And they do their, I'll say their big green egg style smokers, which are, I love the ceramic smokers. They're fantastic.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And what I thought, I mean, when I will watch them whenever it's cooking, I'm going to watch it just because I want to see what they do. And I will warn, whenever you watch one of these, any cooking video, there's cooking for YouTube, which is everything looks like it's extreme. And then there's how you actually really cook it. But the takeaway was, I was like, I liked what they did. What they did is they took beef short ribs. They removed all the bones from the beef short rib and then cleaned one bone, put it back, and then put it like kind of the edge and rolled it in and then bound it all together. Now, before rolling it together, they did do seasoning of the inside and the outside of it. And then they smoked it on the smoker, later wrapped it, looked like they hit it with some beef tallow, and it's supposed to be a good smoke. So we're like, why not? Let's give this a shot. Now there was one shot of what they did. And you and I talked about, where the guy takes his hands and against the meat that's on the bone, he just kind of crushes his hands together, almost like you're trying to pull pork.
Yeah.
and it falls apart in his hands. And we both agree that that's a little overcooked there.
Yeah, that's not my thing. So we'll break this whole thing down. But essentially, we ran an experiment. We saw a YouTube video, which was to smoke beef ribs, which, you know, anyone who's been listening to our show for any length of time knows that we love beef ribs. We love smoking them. We love everything about them. And, you know, in this video, as Rob described, it was a pretty interesting process to set up. So, you know, we'll walk through how we went through it, what we felt the end result was. The pictures are absolutely gorgeous. So here we go. So we went to our local butcher to get the beef ribs. And these are a bit different than the plate ribs we like to smoke that we get from 44 Farms, because the plate ribs are usually three bones. And they are gigantic. I think they have a little bit of the, I can't remember what the prime on top of it, whereas the beef rib is just a bit more shallower cut. But from the butcher, they're still really good and really meaty, better than what you get from the grocery store or from Costco. So we ended up with five racks.
Yes, five racks.
Correct. Yeah, five racks, which is, you know, it's not cheap by any sense of the imagination, but Rod's got a big family. I got a sizey family. So, and so that was the start. Now, the first thing we wanted to do was to debone it. And this is, I think, can be a little bit, challenging or nerve wracking for folks, because you know, you're trying to cut the meat off the bone, but you're trying not to waste everything. And so I would tell you the one of the biggest tricks to make this a much easier process is to keep sharp knives. And one of our favorite tips is, you know, if you have a local knife shop, get your knife sharpened every once in a while. As you build up your supplies, try to get like two boning knives, two chef's knives, so you can keep them in rotation. You can keep one set at home, and then you can keep, you know, send the other set out to get sharpened. And I'm telling you, it's just a game changer when you always have super sharp knives. We like the, my original knives were, and, Vitrionix, that, is what I've been using as far as the boning knife. I use it for my brisket knife. And then I bought their actual boning knife. I actually have one of their cleavers as well. I really like their knives. They're not crazy expensive, but they're, you know, they seem to hold up really well. And I had mine. It was nice and sharp. And so all I did was I flipped the beef rib on the meat side so that the bottom side was exposed. And what I did is I just took my knife and just stuck it in maybe like, you know, eighth of an inch. And I just ran it down the bone on both sides of each bone. And what I was going for was to make sure that when I was done, that it was much, much easier to separate the meat that we wanted off the top. So that was, you know, the initial setup. And then I just flipped it over. I just found a corner where the bone was pretty well exposed, and I just put the knife against the bone and then just rode the knife across the bone, one whole bone. And then the knife just kind of just slid right across the bone, no problem. And then I was able to grab that piece that loosened, and then just make my way to the next bone, make my way to the next bone, make my way to the next bone. And it was pretty, for five racks of ribs, I think it took me like maybe 8 minutes to remove all the meat from them. It was pretty easy. And so what we did then is set them aside, and then it was time for seasoning. So Rod's family, not too spicy. My family, a little bit more on the spicy side. So for the initial setup, normally I would have just went with salt and pepper, but I don't know why. I guess because I've smoked so many beef ribs, I was feeling pretty confident about the seasonings I wanted to use on it. And if we go back to the YouTube video,
good gracious, man.
This guy took what looked to be about 8 pounds of pepper and just completely layered it on the beef ribs. Don't do that. That's just outrageous. You don't need that much pepper. It just, the idea of it looks silly. You know, and we're heavily seasoned guys. We like to season food very heavily. That's just silly. It looked crazy. You know, give it a nice, good thick coating with beef ribs. Anything thick, like a beef rib, brisket, don't be afraid to season it. It's very difficult to over season something that's like very thick like that, because by the time it's all said and done, and you, even if you bite it and you get that initial pop on the outside of the meat, you know, the inside of the meat is where you're really going to get the beef flavor. And then together, you're going to get a really nice experience bite. So don't be afraid to over seasoning.
You know, the amount of pepper they put on reminds me of, I don't know if you remember, I sent you a video a while ago of the mad scientist where he was doing chicken breasts and he put that massive hunk of butter on it. Do you remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
It literally made no sense. And the nice thing about it, and honestly, even on the video comments that we're talking about, yeah, the comments are always fantastic. I literally will watch some videos and immediately go to the comments. And like, if you go look at the comments, even on like this video, there's only 6 comments on this one from Komodo Joe, but one person said, "So much pepper. I don't know if that would taste good, but let me have a bite." And the point is, even most people, they'll look at something like, it just doesn't make any sense. Like, who the heck would put that much and that thick of pepper on something you're cooking? And it's beef short ribs. Like, so they're relatively good beef, but it's not that crazy.
Yeah.
Either way, like I say, I think we went the right route. We definitely were seasoned heavy, and you'll see some of the pictures that we, for the stuff that we put together. It's definitely heavily seasoned, but it wasn't nearly as stupid seasoned as that. And like I say, it reminded me of the,
you know what,
that scientist with his I'm going to find that link and I'm going to send that out because he did an episode on moist chicken breasts, and it was just the piece of butter was probably bigger than chicken breast, and the comments were on fire about that.
So what it reminds me of, and this is a funny thing that we always joke about every time we're making a cutting board, is how much glue these YouTubers use in their videos. Because like Rod and I would be watching a video, maybe some fancy build, and when they go through the glue up portion of it, and they literally, it's like they're taking like a half a gallon of glue to glue up something that's like 3 inches. You're just like, what are you doing? That's way too much glue. So every time Rod and I get together to, you know, do a project, we just start joking and laughing about the amount of glue being used. You definitely want to use a good amount where it squeezes out when you put the stuff together, but yeah, the outrageous amounts of glue that these folks use. And, you know, most likely because they get it for free. A lot of these guys get the glue sent out to them in barrels, and so they don't have to worry about wasting it. That, yeah, that's not the case for us. Everything we purchase. So, but anyway, get back to this beef rib. So, after I separated all the meat from the bones, I did not throw the bones away. I sat the bones aside. The silver skin and all that stuff, I started to trim off the top. And again, having an extremely sharp knife made quick work of that. I did shave off. If you look, a lot of times when you get beef ribs, in between like the first and second bone, sometimes there's just like a thick layer of fat. It's just like from the bottom to the top, it's just fat. And it's a kind of a harder fat, so it doesn't really cook down well. So I usually cut 95% of that out. Which I did on these as well. Because I wanted the seasoning to really stick to the top, I made sure I trimmed up the top quite a bit so that a lot of the meat was exposed. And then on the bottom, because we removed the bone, it was pretty exposed down there as well. So any silver skin and stuff like that, again, with something like this, you can get as crazy or as lazy as you want. I tend to remove a lot of it just because aesthetically, it looks better to me. So it was time to go with the rubs. And I did a combination of our favorite Killer Hogs AP rub. That's a decent base of salt and pepper, garlic. And then I went with our old friend, John Henry's brisket rub. I really like their brisket rub. It's got a good kick to it. It's got a good amount of salt to it. And so I hit a layer of that. And then I found a new John Henry rub, which is called,
was it something like a pecan?
No, sugar maple something.
Yeah, it has a little kick to it.
We're a big fan of their sugar maple, but it's a different sugar maple. I'll get the name. It'll definitely be in the notes if I can't pull it. But it's like the sugar maple, but it has like a little bit more heat to it. And I'm really, really enjoying this rub on everything I put it on so far. So I used a little bit of that in there as well. And again, all of this stuff I got from our little spot, the Mason-Dixon Barbecue. They just started carrying this new John Henry. Actually, they just started carrying John Henry, period. So they didn't really have that before.
You do realize that they started carrying John Henry because we were going in there talking about it. And then now when I go there, I'm like, oh, John Henry, oh, this is super popular. I'm like, of course it is. And since we told you about it, you should know to always keep something on the side for me, man. It's hilarious that once they started carrying, they realized that rub is it's fire, man.
It's excellent. It's one of my favorite rubs. And so the combination layered those three rubs out top and bottom. That is what we use for this particular cook. And then now what we had to do is we had to go back and double check the video because we wanted to see to what extent they trimmed the bones up. So I was wondering if they really scraped off the meat off the bone, almost like they were making a lollipop, or did they just kind of just, you know, put it right back in there? And it turns out when we looked at it from our best guess, they did a good amount of scraping up the bones. So I just mimicked that and took, you know, I took basically what I did is I took four of the biggest bones. I didn't care which one it came from. I didn't feel like I had the need to match, match the bone back up to the rack of ribs that it came from. So what I did is I just found the four biggest ones that were in amongst them, which is usually somewhere in the center of those. And then I scraped those off and then began the process to wrap and truss the meat off.
So the one there was one thing I did see someone else do when they did a similar style for doing the ribs, and I found this later. Rather than removing all the bones, they removed two of the outer two bones, and then they removed one of the middle bones. They left the other one on.
They're like, yeah, so I thought about that when you had first sent it to me. I was like, oh, you can just leave it and wrap it around there. Yeah. But in the end, it's because I wanted to
pull the bone,
pull it and trim everything out really well. I was like, I'll just take it all the way out. But then you could definitely get away with just doing that. I definitely thought about whether that would be a viable option. And I could not see any reason why. But I said, for the first one, we'll trim it all the way out and then see. And honestly, I was not disappointed with the end result. So from there, we trimmed off the bones, and then it's, you know, you can definitely do this with one person, but it is certainly easier with two people when we started wrapping them. So we seasoned them up pretty heavily, and then I just put the bone like a quarter of the way in of the meat. And then the other question we had was how far in to stick the bone. So after Rod and I kind of reevaluated what they did with the video, we decided to stick the bone as far in with just like a little bit of it hanging out. And that also turned out to be the right decision. And we'll expand on that a little bit more in a minute. But so we took those, we rolled them up, and then we just grabbed some regular cooking twine. So, and let me just say this. I can't tell you how many times I have gone to smoke some food or smoke like a chicken or even Thanksgiving and smoke a turkey and just not have any twine in the house. So folks, get yourself some twine and keep it in the house. Because you never know when you're going to need it. And in fact, the one that I had been sitting probably for the better part of 2 years. So I bought it and didn't end up needing it. And then Rod was like, do you have any twine? Because I meant to ask you before I came over. And I was like, in fact, I do. And I pulled out a big brand new package of it.
Goodness, you had that too.
Yeah, because obviously, I mean, could you get away with not using it? Probably. But it was a lot better, I think, if you tie it off. And so we made the decision to tie it off in the bottom, middle, and the top of the, which I think also worked out really well at that point. So we tied them off. We took all five, rolled them up, tied them off. And then this was the next decision. Do we stand them up or do we lay them down? So I was trying to be cute. I said, I'm going to go ahead and stand them up on end, which is where a nice little rack would have came in hand, like ones you would do like rack of lamin or something like that.
Yep.
But so I went ahead and stood them up. But of course, the first time I checked it, four of the five fell over.
Yeah. And I felt bad because when I, you know, it's like you look at a lot of things in a video and you made an assumption on one. And when I went back and looked at the video, I'm like, oh, crap. I told him, yeah, I think we should stand these up on end. And only to realize later on when I looked at the video, they actually cook theirs on a rack over a tray to catch the drippings. I believe, because when you see them pour it with tallow, the tallow isn't clear, mm-hmm. but it's also not an amber color like you typically eat if you smoke your tallow. So it looks like they probably used beef tallow, some of their drippings, mixed those all together, re-poured it back over, and they poured heavily over on top of the meat.
Yeah, and I didn't see a need to do that. So this is one thing to take away is like, you know, you can listen to us. You watch YouTube videos, don't ever feel like you got to recreate everything you hear us say or everything you see, because you may have dietary restrictions. You may not like a certain seasoning. Man, we're just giving you like the guidelines of how we got started. Take it and run with it and then post it. Let us know what you did differently, how you changed it up, because all those things help us get better at this as, you know, as backyard pit masters. So by all means, you know, flip anything that you ever hear us talking about and let us know, you know, what you did. That's how we get better as a community.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Unity. So we, so they did fall over. Four of the five fell over. So I left the one that stayed up. And then what I did was, you know, generally beef ribs go about 7 hours. And so Rod was kind of on a crunch time because he wanted to use his for dinner. So I think we got him on the smoker about 10:30. So I felt like it could work. Was it about 10:30?
It was noon.
Oh, really? I'm tripping.
You were very optimistic on 10:30.
I lit the smoker at 10:30. That's what I did. Yeah. I lit the smoker at 10:30. We got him on at noon, but I still felt pretty confident. I was guessing. I've never done this before, but I felt pretty confident it would be ready by dinner time. And they were. So about 3 hours in is where I decided to wrap it. And again, I didn't wrap it based on time. I wrapped it based on look. And so, you know, while you know, we're saying you don't need to put a ton of black pepper, there's one thing that black pepper does is it definitely creates that outer bark really well. So I wouldn't have minded if I had just given a light coating of pepper in addition to everything that we put on it. But nonetheless, I did get a decent bark on there anyway. And so it was time to wrap. And so I'll caution you that you want to I used butcher paper, which I think was the right decision. But just make sure you pull it out, give yourself a good amount of butcher paper, because, you know, trying to get it in there and then twisting around the bone, you want to make sure it's fully covered. And then all I did is I had my daughter tie off the butcher paper at the bone. And so what I noticed at the point of wrapping was there was significant pullback of the meat, which is what you would expect anyway. So even though we exposed just very little of the bone, it still pulled back as if we were just cooking regular ribs. So that was a good sign right there that we were doing well. The juices were just dripping all over the smoker. So that was a good sign that I wanted to see. I had it in my head that I was going to smoke to about 195, 200, which was typical for me to smoke beef ribs. So that was what I was shooting for. And what I did was I decided, you know, they poured a bunch of liquid over it. And I'm like, I'm not going to destroy the bark that I just created with a ton of liquid inside the paper. So I just kept it very simple. I just grabbed melted off some beef tallow, took it over to, and then I just drizzled a bit of beef tallow on each rib. And then I hit it with a coating of the regular sugar maple. So the other sugar maple is not as sweet. It has a bit of a kick to it. And then I used their John Henry's regular sugar maple, which added that nice sweetness to the top of it and really rounded out the flavor, in my opinion. And then of course with the tallow helping it stick, now we get, you know, we're talking and we're in business. So
yeah, you can't a little, it's not like rubbing brown sugar all over them, but it gives a little bit more of that sweet profile.
Yeah.
So I definitely think that helps out. And it's always, I will say, like, when you're trying to, it's good when you find things like this and you want to experiment, because I've never thought about just ripping the bones. Oh, well, I guess we have when you made like the rib. This would be another good example of making a rib sandwich.
It'd be an easier way to do the rib. Yeah. Just taking it off up front. But, you know, at the same time, you do get a lot of flavor from the bone. So I don't know. I would try, honestly. Okay, I'll tell you what I'll do at the end. I'll tell you exactly how I would do it.
So the nice thing, so the one thing I would say, if you're going to turn it into a rib sandwich versus just wrapping it around, one of the other nice things you get is you get bark all the way around, which.
Yes.
So I was like, well, you could just lay them on the bones. I'm like, yeah, but then you mess up your bark in places. And now you can just have a relatively thin piece of meat, bark literally all the way around it. You could definitely do a good couple rib sandwiches out of that. And
yeah, I'm going to tell you exactly in my head. I have it already laid out how I'm going to do it. So ribs went back in, and then about 2 hours later, I started temping them, and they were right around 200. And I could tell. And, you know, another key tip is when you grab your nice thermometer, and for whatever reason, I can't find my Thermopop. I'm driving me crazy. I got to go order another one, but I had my backup thermometer. And when I stuck it in, like, I almost lost the thermometer, but it was so tender. Like, it just went right into the meat. And that to me was a perfect sign that this thing was ready to come off the heat, you know? So even though the temperature might be telling you one thing, use your feelings, use your touch and your senses, you know, pay attention to how easily the thermometer goes in and out of the meat. That really is a good sign of tenderness. So I just took them all out, put them in a pan, set them aside, let them rest until Rod came and picked up his. And then we decided to cut one on the spot. So, and could not be happier. Well, I guess I always can be happier, but was very excited for what we came up with. And like we mentioned earlier in the show, he took his and just smashed it into little pieces. I'm like, why on earth would you take something that looks so elegant and just smash it to where it looks like pulled pork? And it's not that there's nothing wrong with pulled pork, but, you know, it just looks differently. And so what we decided was we were going to pull the bone out, remove the string, and then we just sliced it off. And I thought that was a way better move than just smashing it into, you know, little scrap pieces. Like, what was the point of doing all the tying off and wrapping and all that stuff, you know, if you're not going to kind of show it off in the end? And I think it just presented itself much, much better. And then took a bite, really good flavor, really good tenderness, juicy, really good overall. And the other thing I should mention is one we did was, like, we took the bones and seasoned off the bones And I just cooked those separately. So because there was so much meat in between, it just, to me, it was like a good, really good snack and something to just gnaw on real quick or pull some pieces off. And like, I overly seasoned those bones. So they really brought a lot of flavor. Did anybody eat any of the bones at your house?
I think two of them got eaten. I just don't know who ate them. So yeah. Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. That I went extra seasoning on them. And so they just kind of like a big flavor pop off of those. And yeah. And then what did you do for a side on yours?
So you and I were chatting and you're like, I think sweet potato mash would go well with this. I was going back home. I was like, let's just stop and get some sweet potatoes. This is actually a pretty good idea. So I did some sweet potato mash. And actually, I think it came out really good. I did learn, which is my kids will eat many things, but sometimes there are things they're weird with. My daughter and son, two of them were like, yeah, I don't really think I like, sweet potatoes that much. I'm like, God, just give me back your black card. next, I'll hear you don't like chicken, watermelon, and all these other great, fantastic foods of our, it was just really weird. I was like, how do you not like, how you do not like sweet potatoes?
All the Christmases, sweet potatoes is every, you know, what we do, you know, all different type of versions of it. Ugh.
Delicious.
Who raised them? But, yeah, so I just ate mine straight. I take that back. I actually got, went out and bought some yuca. I just had mine with the yuca on the side, which I had seasoned up. And I'm a big fan of yuca on the side of a barbecue. I think it's has a very potato-y, a thicker potato-y feel and taste to it. And I think it complements barbecue very, very well. So that's what we did. I did yuca. My daughter she was on her way out the door. So unfortunately she didn't get to enjoy it. My wife's on a pretty strict diet right now, so she didn't have any, but I sent a picture to one of my, our buddies, and he was like, yeah, I'm coming tomorrow to get some, please save me some. And I always tease him and hit him with the good luck. You know, may not be none left, but I knew I was going to have plenty left, this time around. From the two racks. But overall was extremely happy. But you know, there are some things that I would change.
I would agree.
And do better. So number one is I definitely would have went heavier on the brisket rub. I think it could have used more, like the bones I liked. I hit it really well on the bones, but it could have used a little bit more. I felt like I was a bit conservative. I was more worried about Rod's kids and the spiciness of the other one, and I should have went heavier on the brisket rub seasoning itself.
Yeah, I was going to say more pepper would have been
even just a dusting. So anytime I use an AP, I always grind up some black pepper separately because none of these APs for me put enough black pepper in it. So I definitely would have put a coat. I should have done my traditional and just put a coating of the black pepper on both sides as well as a little bit heavier on the brisket rub. So that's number one. Number two, because the bones were removed, I probably didn't need to smoke it up to 200. I probably could have pulled it at 190. And it would have been fine.
Yeah, I would definitely agree there too. Yeah. The other thing when I was thinking, I was like, this could have been one of those where you barely seasoned the part that was wrapped internally inside, but the outside part could have been one of those where you're like, I'm going to season this because this is more exposed.
Yeah. But you're rolling it too. So you really, it's true, not that so much exposed.
Matter. It doesn't matter what you do.
Yeah, but I see where you're headed. Probably could have just seasoned the top side, even though it's rolled, it still would have been, you know, but more anyway, to me, the flavor was there, the seasoning was there, and I enjoyed the meat flavor that came out of it, but definitely, I think, could have hit it a little bit harder
with pepper,
with the pepper and the rub. Even though it was juicy, I felt like I felt like it had crossed the line from perfect to very good. Like it went over the line. And so if I had to pull it back, because you know, when it comes to long smoked large meats like this, it's a fine line between, yeah, this is absolutely stellar. Now that could also be a matter of the meat itself, even though the meat was, you know, very good. But I guarantee you, if I had like the 44 Farms beef ribs, it'd have been absolutely outstanding. You know what I mean? At that temperature.
Yeah, you would, if Snake River Farms, if you were doing the dino ribs, you would not, you couldn't have rolled it. It's like there's so much meat.
Yeah.
You definitely have to go with, despite the desire to say, oh, I'd rather do dino because there's going to be more meat. The nice thing about the short ribs is that there isn't
aesthetically,
a ton of
meat. you can roll it. Yeah. So, yeah. So, I would take it. I like the wrap I did. I like how we tied it off. I probably wouldn't even have bothered trying to, stand them up. That's another thing. So those are the things I would, the other thing is I probably would like to experiment with an injection, of the beef injection that we get from the barbecue services, because, I don't know. I think it would have plumped it up a little bit. And I think what I would have done is separated the bone, ran an injection through each rib, and then tried, you know, might have affected it rolling it. So I'd have to try it both ways. I'd have to roll it and inject it. And then I'd have to, you know, try injecting it before rolling it. Right. But I don't normally inject beef ribs. It's not a thing that I do, but I think because of the nature of how we rolled it, it probably would have benefited from it. A little bit. And finally, if I was to, well, I'll definitely do this again because this was absolutely outstanding, but I think I would do it two ways. We were talking about doing beef rib sliders again. And I think what I would do is I'm going to remove it from the bone, season both sides like normal, probably inject it. But, this is something that I've always been dreaming about doing in some shape, form, or fashion, which is where you buy like the package of the slider buns and you just remove all the tops. You don't separate the buns. Yeah. You just remove the tops. Then take that whole beef rib square, lay it on there after it's done, and then just put the top back on. And so people can just break it off and eat, you know, what they get. You know what I mean? So you just grab like one of the buns, top, bottom, pull it. And then that should break the beef rib off. So it would require smoking the beef rib a little bit further to get it more tender where it starts to fall apart a little bit more. But I think that would be a cool experience to just see this big rectangle of sliders and just to be able to break it off and, you know, take it. Or, you know, or you just run the knife, you put it on there and then you just run the knife to make it a little bit easier for people to separate. But either way, I think that's something I want to attempt because I'm, you know, we are obsessed with barbecue appetizers. You know, taking like our traditional barbecues and making them into appetizers.
Yeah. So I think I would agree with most of your assessment. I think definitely a little bit less time on the smoker for certain. If you take it down by just five, I think just 5 degrees, it might only be like 2.5 degrees you really need to go down by, but like 5 degrees, I think you're probably going to be in that safe zone with cookover. Without a doubt, adding the additional pepper, I think would help out. If I'd probably say if I were going to do it again, I think from an appearance standpoint, it's very cool and aesthetic, but I could definitely see just deboning one of these, seasoning it properly, throwing it on the smoker and turning those into like beef sandwiches. I really think you could have something really good there for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. But all in all, very good find.
Yeah.
Excellent experiment. I would call it a total success. Even though, you know, for me, I have nothing I ever do is all the way up, you know, in my opinion, all the way perfect. I can always make it better and find ways. But for a first run of something we've never done before, I don't think anybody could argue with how good this came out. So yeah, all in all, smoked. What are we calling this thing? Because it's not quite,
a Thor's hammer,
right? What cut is the Thor's hammer?
Shank, I think it is.
Let me see. Look at it. Yeah, that's the beef shank, right? So it kind of resembles a Thor's hammer. So maybe we call it the modified Thor's hammer. I don't know. I don't know what they call it. Smoked beef rib. Smoked. What do we call it? Smoked boneless beef ribs. How about that? I don't know.
Yeah, it was great. I mean, honestly, it is a mini Thor hammer, right?
Yeah.
Exactly what it looks like.
It does look like. In the end, except for, you know, the Thor's hammer is a much more rounded and stuff like that, whereas this does, you know, come on the whole thing. But
yeah,
I don't know. It was good nonetheless. It does resemble it, though. So anyway, folks, we super appreciate you. We're so excited for this season 5. We have a lot more things coming in along the way. So keep up with us. Keep sending us your pictures. Keep posting your foods. And, you know, and like I said, if there's a check out our store, if you you can also support us on Patreon, patreon.com/barbecuewithtech, however you want to do it, or just hang out, post the show, retweet it, all of that good stuff, and hit us up. All right. That's it for this week. We'll catch you guys next week. Anything else from you, Rod?
Nope. I think you hammered it, man.
All right, let's bounce.
We got to figure something out. And we have to do pork belly at some point in time. I know you've done it before, but I don't think we've ever talked about it on the show. So
yeah,
I think we're going to have to do an episode on pork belly.
Well, you're traveling. So maybe when you come back, we'll grab a pork belly and then we'll do it two ways. We'll do it pork belly burn-ins and maybe we'll do something else. I don't know. We'll spitball it.
Absolutely.
All right, we out, folks. Later.
Peace.
Up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.